Welcome, change agents. I'm so glad you're here. This is Cheryl Klein, and you're listening to the Limitless Leader Podcast.
So today is an extremely special day. I am so honored to be here with the amazing Lynn Thornton, who is a senior vice president at JSG. Lynn, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm very happy to be here too.
And, you know, before we jump in and you start just dropping some amazing nuggets of wisdom over your past amazing career, I would love to know, how did you get to this point? Were there any people or any situations that really inspire you to greatness, or maybe people or situations that were very difficult that ended up inspiring you to greatness? In other words, a lot of times people think, you know, maybe there's female leaders or emerging leaders might think that you were just born into the world as a senior vice president or as influential as you are. But, you know, we want to know, where did you get started and what was your inspiration?
You know, thinking back to my childhood, because I think childhood is so important for you know, setting the foundation for people. It was really two main influencers. And I have to call out, because I'm so proud of her, my Aunt Mary, she was from first generation immigrants. She was the oldest child in a family of five. She went to nursing school in the 1950s. After seeing both of her parents, they were previous sharecroppers, and they couldn't even write, let alone going to college. She goes to nursing school. She went to, moved on to work as a head nurse at an oncology hospital locally in Buffalo, and that's Roswell. And she was such an influence to me without me knowing it, because what is the comment that you can't be what you can't see? I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Most other women that I knew were stay-at-home moms. And this aunt was out there going to college and being very successful. And I just assumed that was normal to have that choice, that I could choose to be a stay-at-home mom or that I could have a career. So she really had a huge impact on my mindset. And then the other influencer was my dad. And my dad was a railroad engineer, and from day one with me, he said over and over again, you can be whatever you want to be. The sky is the limit. You could be a doctor. You could be a nurse. You could be a veterinarian. You could be an astronaut. I remember in 1969, him making me get up to see the first steps on the moon. And that also impacted me. That was two people that really made me think that I could be anything I wanted to be.
And that is just so important, because if you think about, well, what if you didn't see that? Or what if your father was like, no, you can be a teacher, a stay-at-home mom, or a secretary, you know, and or something like that. So that is really amazing. And has that stuck with you throughout your career?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's made me also realize, too, with other women, that not everybody has that opportunity to have those type of influencers. So I try to remember that. And when I'm coaching or mentoring or doing anything related to women, I actively try to help women, especially those that might not have had that influence, or at least helping to guide their career paths.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, along those lines then, even so, it's amazing that you had that inspiration of those two really impactful people in your life. But it's probably safe to say that even so, your journey wasn't easy. And so was there a certain mindset that really kept you going when things maybe got challenging?
Yeah. When things got challenging, as well as just, we all question ourselves. We all have doubt. We have all heard of that imposter syndrome. And I found throughout my career that one of the mindsets that has helped me, though, is I've had opportunities where things that I didn't even think of came up. For example, sales. I had a sales career. I never thought I was going to go into sales. And the opportunity came up and I thought, let's try that. And then I had other mentors and peers along the way say, you should go into leadership. And that was not something I was even considering to be a leader. And I always thought to myself, though, well, if all these people are saying I should be doing this, I really should try that. I went into leadership. I ended up loving leadership. So one of the things that I've done is we all doubt ourselves, but on the other hand, there's also that let's go for it. Let's try this thing, even if it's something that I never even considered. And I do coach a lot of people regarding that too, because I meet people that are so, they have career plans that are so rigid and they think that they can't deviate from that. And sometimes these things that are different turn out to be the best opportunities and really rewarding.
So that I want to emphasize a couple of things that you said. And one is to what I'm hearing is be flexible and maybe pay attention to what other people see in you that you might not see in yourself, and maybe give yourself permission to go for it, even if you haven't checked all the boxes or you don't have experience or why would they be saying that? I've never thought of that for myself, or I'm not ready, or something like that. So I think that's a great reminder.
I'd say always go for it, right? Or always at least consider it. You don't have to apply for the job. You don't have to take the job if you really decide you don't want it, but go for it.
Yeah. And go ahead.
And the other thing that I wanted to bring up though too is around, around that imposter syndrome too, that I mentioned, because that has come up in my career too. And at one point, and I talked about shifting different aspects of my career when these opportunities came up, but I always was in sales. And then at a point, maybe about 15 years ago, I had the opportunity to go into something that was not sales leadership, and it was for customer service and variable compensation. And boy, that imposter syndrome in my head was just like, it was just going off, because, okay, you were a good sales leader, but you're not going to succeed here in something that's not sales. And what happened is, not only did I succeed, it went really well. And that was such a boost. It was really a boost of confidence for me, because that's when I realized that skills are transferable. What's in you is transferable. So what you can be successful in whatever you set out to be with those core skills.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because whether they're with my clients, or I've heard other amazing female leaders such as yourself say, it's a common thread that your skills are transferable. So I just wanted to repeat that. And the only permission that you need to go for something is your own. So I just really want, that's such an important thing that you just shared. And so I just wanted to emphasize it. And so, you know, moving on to the next question, what do you think, you know, if you were to advise your younger self? So you mentioned, you know, before we recorded this, that you were at Ingram Micro for over 35 years. And if you were to advise, let's say, yourself that maybe was at Ingram the first 5 years or the first 7 years, the first 2 years, you know, knowing what you know now, what would that advice be?
The first piece of advice is around networking, because networking is just absolutely critical. And I will admit, I was not good at networking until I had kind of learned my lesson. Mid-career, there was a role that I thought I was definitely going to be able to get. I was in line for that role, and I didn't get it. And after being angry for about 2 weeks, I started looking at what happened here, what could I have done better? And it was really around networking, because I was one of those people that was super focused on doing my job, doing it well, and I didn't bother with things outside of that job. So huge lesson learned. So what I did is I started really focusing on how do I network better internally? And I got much more involved internally. One of the things that we did is we started a great women's group, but I got to connect and know people internally at my company and built upon that. The other thing that happened was external. So I did not have an external network, and I knew I had to do something about that. So I joined, you know, different groups and different different trainings and organizations so I could build that external network. And it really expanded. And now people often say that I'm probably one of the most networked people they know. But one of the benefits of that networking is I found organizations in the community, for example, that are very focused on helping people upskill, people that are underserved and underrepresented, upskilled for technology training and skills. And they were looking for advisors, and I got to do that. And by helping them and advising on that, I found out that's really my passion and my North Star. So not only did not networking previously, at first it hurt, but it really helped. And I really found some other things that are just so interesting to me, and gained so many friendships too from that. But again, back to that younger self. So there's networking, you got to do that. And then I would say take on a more giving approach versus a taking approach. And we can talk a little bit more about that. And then also there's something that I love to refer to as the power of suggestion that I learned along the way too, which is kind of ties in with networking, but it's really making sure that when you are networking and meeting people, go in there and let them know and communicate to them what your strengths are and what your intentions are and what you're thinking for your career. I've seen people get their dream jobs based on being good at communicating those things. And again, I call it the power of suggestion, but one of the women that used to work for me was in a transactional role, but she told me she was a learner and she was very motivated by that. And by her telling me that, what I did is I made sure that she was always in some type of side project or initiative where she got to learn and expand upon that. And it ended up that she went from a transactional role to several promotions. And now she's in change leadership and transformation. And, you know, part of that was because of she communicated well what she was interested in. I have another example where somebody came to see me and just had a conversation and said, you know, I'm really thinking of being a manager eventually. And 6 months later, his position was eliminated. And I happen to have a manager position. So he applied for the job and he got it. But again, if we didn't have that conversation, I never would have thought of him. And then personally myself, I got a great story from this year. And now I'm at JSG now, CEO is Janet Shines, but I was meeting with her probably May timeframe this year. And she asked me what my next chapter vision for my career was. And I said, I told her what it was and what I was thinking about, what I wanted to do. And at that point, I was still with my current role. And we ended that conversation. And a couple months later, it ended up that my role was eliminated this year. And interestingly enough, that conversation, Janet did reach out to me and I ended up in this role because of that conversation.
So talk about shining. I want to not just shine a flashlight. I want to shine a floodlight on what you said, because, you know, and also one other thing that we were talking about before we started recording is that it's very challenging for a lot of women to talk about what they love, what they're good at, what their dreams and aspirations are, because there are cultural and generational indoctrinations that we have experienced as women, but also that we witness in our mothers and grandmothers. And there's also one big myth that we were talking about that, you know, I'd like to bust right now. And that is that if we do an amazing job, it will speak for itself. And it's just not true. And it is important to do a good job. And there obviously is immense value in doing a good job. But when it comes to what you were talking about networking, it's incredibly important. And also, you know, I don't know if the listeners were picking up on the nuances, but I wanted to also share what you weren't just talking about networking. You're talking about how you were networking, talking about, this is what I love doing. It actually, it was good that you had a friend who asked you about it. But for everybody listening, if you are out with people and you are networking, I'm going to invite you to share voluntarily, you know, my next chapter, I'm looking to do this, or what really lights me up is that, or what if I had a magic wand the next 5 years, I would love to do this. Just start putting it out into the world. Or if it's, you know, internal, you know, say, hey, my team, you know, I led my team and we achieved this and, you know, I loved it. You know, they loved it. I loved it. But give your team credit. Have you ever done this? I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Have you ever given your team credit and never taken any for yourself?
Oh yeah. All the time, because that was, we were a team, we, right. And very, very much in the habit of saying we versus me.
Yes. And so it is important to do that, but I really like to invite everyone to start owning, you know, owning their leadership a little and their guidance and start sharing it, because sometimes women get passed over because not because we're not qualified, but because we're not as vocal and verbal as some of our male counterparts or maybe some of our other female counterparts. So what you were talking about networking is so important, and also about just a reminder to do the most that you can while you are networking to share your strengths and what you love and what you're looking forward to. And getting back to the topic of getting ahead by giving, you were talking a little bit about when you're networking, go at it from a perspective of giving rather than getting. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people think that networking, they overcomplicate networking, and they think it's always, oh, I'm going to reach out to this person that doesn't know me well, and I'm going to ask them for advice or to be my mentor or sponsor or any of those things. And really what people should be thinking about is, what could they give to that person and what could they bring to that person in that conversation? And I've seen so many people also think that, well, you know, somebody, a senior executive does not want to meet with me because they know so much and I know so little, which is totally not accurate. Over the years, I've had meetings with people that have worked for the company for 1 month, and sometimes you get some nuggets or wisdom from them that nobody was thinking about. So everybody has something to bring to the table. But what I'd advise people is a couple things with that whole giving concept. Information is so available. So if you want to meet with somebody, or if you want to be part of an organization, research it, go on LinkedIn, find out what somebody's interests are. And then when you're part of that meeting with them, bring some of your knowledge and give them some suggestions based on what you know that they're interested in or passionate about. So it's pretty easy to connect the dots with those things. Another thing with giving is, I had mentioned previously leading a women's forum and women's group in my prior job. So I've seen so many speakers, including Janet. That's actually how I met her the first time, is we asked her to speak at our campus. And she did that for free. She came in, she did it for free. And then that segued into her getting a keynote speaking engagement at our sales conference the following year. So I've seen speakers do that. And there's so many ways to reciprocate different favors like that and helping each other get ahead. So giving is very important. I would say approach every conversation and every meeting or any organization that you want to be part of is more of a two-way street, instead of what could they give me or what could they bring me? What could I do for them? And, you know, often the payoff is 1,000 times.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And then, you know, one thing that you said that really leapt out at me is, don't think that, you know, first of all, the person that you're thinking of that you would love, love, love to talk to, that would be amazing, but you're thinking that never in a million years he or she would talk to me, I'm going to invite you to go ask that person, you know. And when you were talking about giving, you know, it could be something, you know, big, like showing up and doing a speaking event, but it could be something small. If you want to talk to your CEO, it may be, you know, to share some insight or wisdom that you have and also get his or her perspective. And so I think that helps you to really be a standout, because a lot of times, especially senior executives, they're used to giving. They're used to solving problems and giving. You know, they're not used to someone saying, you know, I like to share something that might be useful. And so that's so great that you brought that up, and so very important. So if anyone listening wants a little homework from this episode, that is to think of the one person that you would love to network in, or that would be even not necessarily would love to, but maybe would be very, very important for your growth, and reach out to them and think through what information would you like to get, but even more importantly, what would you like to give? And so I love that.
And just one thing to add to that too, you could even take that and use it within your own team, your own leader, your own manager, because, you know, especially when things are tough economically, it seems like it's, you know, more pressure on everybody. So here's a way to, you know, give to your manager or your leader. How can I help you? What can I do to, you know, to help make your role easier? Or is there something I can do to assist or lead for you too? And, you know, that just helps develop your skills and you know, really have a positive impact on how they see you.
Yeah, and it really helps to be more visible by giving. And so that is really a really great suggestion. And so for everybody listening, then there's just so much wisdom that was shared. But if there was one thing, like a call to action, what would you advise everyone that, you know, starting today or tomorrow, I want you to really do this?
I would say, and I touched on the power of suggestion, on networking and giving. If you focus on those three things, it's a trifecta, and really you can become unstoppable if you become good at those three things.
Wow. And can you name those three again for me?
The power of suggestion.
Okay.
Networking.
Okay.
And the giving approach.
That is such a great framework. I have no doubt that it's either in your coaching framework or it will be soon. Lynn, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. So much wisdom shared today. I look forward to following your journey.
Thanks. This has been great, Cheryl. Thanks for inviting me.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow or subscribe to the Limitless Leader Podcast with Cheryl Klein on whatever podcast platform you use. We'll let you know every time we release a new episode. And if you really enjoyed what you've heard so far, rate and review us too. That's one of the best ways that you can support us and make sure that this podcast keeps going. And also, I offer a significant library of free mental toughness and high performance videos, worksheets, tips, and other helpful content on my website at www.cherylklein.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Cheryl Klein, and I look forward to having you back next time. And remember, you're only limited by what you think is possible. Cheering you on always.